With regards to the preaching of our word, of the word this day, what I do want to do is I want to preach from a summarizing verse. We do follow the lectionary here, and so we have the Old Testament lesson, a New Testament epistle lesson, and a gospel lesson. But this summarizing verse, in my mind, really brings out those lectionary readings, and it brings them out into a single focus. Of course, there's 1,001 things that are found in our Old Testament, New Testament, and gospel lesson that we could, but this one idea that is found in all of them, I think, is really crystallized in this one verse. And this one verse comes from this psalm that we sung, Psalm 116. And the title of our sermon is The Cup and the Call. The Cup and the Call, the title of our sermon. And you're going to find that here as we look at Psalm 116 and verse 13 in particular. We read these words. So let's hear this word and ask God to bless us and give us a good understanding of the cup and the call. David writes, Psalm 116, verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this short and crisp and concise verse here. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to see how on many, many levels it represents the whole of the work that you do, the graciousness with which you give of yourself to us, and then our response, calling upon you, because, Lord, you are our portion. You are our lot. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you. We ask you to give us guidance here as we go through this sermon here and help us to see this and help us to focus more and more upon who you are and what you have done rather than simply, even though they're important, the responses that we make. Even the response to call upon the name of the Lord. We ask you for help in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we are, 2 days after Easter, and as is commonly the case, many folks will be making too much of man's appropriate response. Now, there is an appropriate response. We know from the book of Acts and other places where Jesus has been raised from the dead, the apostles go out and they're preaching, and there's this tremendous emphasis upon calling upon the name of the Lord. Even St. Paul in the book of Romans, call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're not trying to minimize that in any way or say in any way that that is not important, but oftentimes there is too much of an emphasis on what is man's appropriate response, and that is to call upon the name of the Lord. And I say that as we put that alongside of the fact that there is very little, or in some cases, no attention paid to the cup. And what do I mean by the cup? I mean by the cup, the portion that God has given to us, the lot in life, his promises, his salvation in particular, the blessings that he gives to us, the provision that is ours through him. And so I want us to see, at least on some level here, that God is the initiator, we are the responder. Yes, there's a place for us to call, it's vital, it's important, but none of that would take place without God pouring out the abundance of his promises, his grace, his salvation, and even all of his provision for us. Of course, response is important. But we're Americans, and we're individualists, and on far too many levels, we're humanists. And in our man and self-centeredness, too often, that results in focus made more upon ourselves rather than upon God. One of the great things about the cross is something for us to look to. And it's the fulfillment of an image that is found even in the wilderness as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. We were to look and live. We were to see what God's provision was. The cross likewise is something that is to take our focus and our attention off of ourselves and place it upon God's provision. Even before Easter, as we had Good Friday, we remember Psalm 22. And Psalm 22 tells us about all that Jesus has done for us. And I would submit, as we've been studying over the last several months, this applies not only to our justification, but it applies to our sanctification as well. Psalm 22 declares what he has done for us. And let me take a sidebar here for a minute to remind us all that even as we come to church on Sunday and we talk about the Lord's service is about what he has done for us. The Lord's service is not about us serving him. We're only responding to the service that he gives to us. He calls us. He is the one who ends up forgiving us as we confess our sins. He's the one who consecrates us through the word. He's the one who feeds us at the table. He's the one who commissions us. And so the Lord's service is about what he has done and what he does. It is not about us serving him. It's about us merely being thankful and thankfully responding to all that he has done. And it is so well reflected in Psalm 22 and what happens at the cross. But unfortunately, many of us think in terms of Psalm 22 as only the cross. There's a whole second part of Psalm 22, and I'm not going to read the whole of that second half of it, but beginning in verse 22, there is this setting where this person, David, and then fulfilled in Jesus, who has suffered this horrific experience on the cross here in Psalm 22. In verse 22, it says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. There's life beyond what happens in this horrible crucifixion. And even further than that, at the very end of Psalm 22, in verse 31, it says, they shall come and they shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall yet be born, that he has done this. Psalm 22 ends with a veritable, it is finished. Christ has paid it all for our justification and for our sanctification. He has paid it all. He has done this. So ours is to be taking the cup. And taking the cup is the recognition and the reception, receiving what he has done. Receiving all of it. And what an image the cup is. The cup is this really pregnant image in all of the Old Testament. It's full. We've done full-orbed Bible studies on this before. The subject is immense. It is profound. All over the Old Testament, the cup is poured out. Not just a cup of blessing. Sometimes it's the cup of wrath. And God's people are to drink it. They're to recognize that it's from his hand. They're to receive it. They're to respond to it. You know, I never really realized it at the time, but when I look back into my early childhood, I remember the architecture of the church I attended at the time. It was a beautiful, beautiful church down there in South Troy. It was St. Joseph's, and the architecture was just phenomenal, just fascinating and fabulous. And there is a part of this architecture that particularly stands out and applies to what we're talking about today. From the right side of the sanctuary, on this right side, it would be your left, but where the pulpit area is, down there in South Troy, there was this massive white marble edifice. It was a pulpit, but it was in the shape of this huge chalice. It was a huge cup. It had some a metal staircase that went up to it. It was probably 10 feet high or more. Just this amazing structure here, this huge white marble cup. And it is from there that the minister would climb those steps, and from that cup, so to speak, and that was the imagery, that was the implied and intended imagery, that from that cup would pour forth God's word. Maybe it would be judgment. Other times it would be salvation and blessing. But it came from the cup. It poured forth from the cup. From there came the voice of God, the proclamation of his word, the sanctions, both positive and negative, blessings, judgment. And from that cup, we who were hearers and had that cup poured out upon us, we were those who were receiving our lot. We were receiving our portion. And we were reminded that this is our priority. This is our priority. Because God is our priority. And his cup, his provision, what he assigns to us and pours out for us, is our top priority, because he's our top priority. And the rest of our lives, well, that's important too. But that's our response to the cup. The calling upon the name of the Lord is the response. We take the cup and then we call. I think about our service here, and what is ours to do here is, again, the Lord's service is his service to us. And he's going to serve us by the cup being poured out. And the cup dispenses for us the word of God in the preaching and in the readings. And the cup is poured out at the table for us. We take the cup and we live the rest of our lives in response, calling upon him. And so again, let's go back there to Psalm 116 and verse 13. It says this: I will take the cup of salvation. Now the cup is broader than just salvation. Again, it can be wrath, it can be anything and everything that God has for us. But in particular here, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. God is the primary mover, and he's the prior mover. We respond. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. And isn't this how it ought to be? You think of other imagery that is in the Bible, and other imagery that is in nature, and other imagery that is in our culture. It is the groom who initiates. And it is the bride that responds. It's the groom who begins things. It is the bride that finishes and glorifies things. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, we read this: Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. By the way, we use the word propitiation here a lot. It's earlier in our liturgy here, when we confess our sins and God sends his son to be the propitiation. Propitiation is a big, big fancy word, but it simply means the sacrifice that takes away wrath. He has sent his son here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son, already happened, to be the one who would be the propitiation for our sins. The sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away God's wrath. But you know, just a couple of verses later, 9 verses later in 1 John in chapter 4 and now verse 19, it puts it even more succinctly and even perhaps more bluntly. It says, we love him because he first loved us. We take the cup. We take the cup of salvation and we call. And this surely is the sequence in what it is that we are finding in Psalm 116. We love him because he first loved us. But this is also found earlier in this very same psalm. In Psalm 116, we could have looked at the whole psalm, but let me just turn your attention to the first couple of verses here. Psalm 116 in verse 1 says this, I love the Lord. Sounds like, you know, this is all about us, right? We're the focus. I love the Lord, but wait a minute, what does it say? I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Again, it's response. Our call is a response to the cup. Part of his cup is that he's a God who hears our supplication. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication. I love the Lord because. If we look at verse 2, verse 2 starts this way. Because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Who went first, so to speak? God went first. Because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore, as a result of that, because of that, I will call. The cup came first, the call came later. Now, I'm using the word call here with respect to the human call. I'm not talking about the divine call, calling people to salvation. But the call we're speaking of here is about us, and it's our response. And it is a response. Because he's done this, therefore I will call. Now we could look in this very same psalm again and look a little further in verse 4, and it says this, then I called upon the name of the Lord. But you know what? Verse 4 is in response to verse 3. And verse 3 said, the sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got a hold of me. I found trouble and I found sorrow. When David calls, it is also in response to a part of what God has poured out for him in his cup. It's a response to trouble. And his cup is everything. One of the traditions that is handed down in my family, and I don't know how accurately we are reflecting what it was meant to do, is at each Easter, at our family dinner at home, we end up having this little ritual, if you will, where we have sliced hard-boiled eggs and we have some horseradish. And the way it was at least transmitted to me is that this represents God's cup. It represents life. And the representation of God's cup to us is that we are to take the bitter with the sweet. We are to recognize and receive God's cup. And the egg was representing sweetness and nutrition, and the horseradish being bitter was that which was described as bitter. You take what God gives us, the bitter and the sweet. We do that every Easter. It's a good reminder. David was doing that here. He was responding. He was calling upon God in response to the cup that God had poured out for him. Think about the greatness of Job. Perhaps you remember Job in chapter 2. And this is what Job says to his wife. He says, shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil? Perhaps we could apply that to our contemporary distress. Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil? It's a part of God's cup. In Job chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. What's the response? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Pours forth his cup, and we call. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is it for us to do? It's to take the cup and to call upon the name of the Lord. How does this apply to our lectionary readings on the road to Emmaus? Long before there was given any consideration about calling, long before there was any consideration of calling upon the name of the Lord, Jesus presents the cup. He's describing for them what God gave them, his provision, his service. Remember Luke chapter 24, as we read in verse 25, it says, he says to them, O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself, and in particular how he was brought forth to be the Savior of the world by way of being the Lamb of God. And then we look at verse 32, and it says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us along the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures? These guys were being filled with the outpouring of that cup, the outpouring of God's provision, their recognition that God had done it all and God was in it all. God was even in the things that were making them so mad and so sad as they were thinking and reasoning upon the things that had happened in Jerusalem. Now they're recognizing that God did all of this and that this whole cup was poured out for them. This whole cup is poured out for us. Perhaps we could go to Acts in chapter 2. In Acts in chapter 2. I look at Acts chapter 2 and it's just like Peter, the minister of God, climbing up into that massive cup, that massive chalice where he is going to pour forth God's provision. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifts up his voice and he begins preaching. That's what Peter's doing. He climbed up into that big chalice, that big cup, announcing that cup of salvation. The contents of that cup are poured out. I could read for you a ton of what was pouring forth from that cup, but I'll just limit it to what we had in our lectionary readings. That's something of a summary verse here of what that cup was all about that Peter was proclaiming. And he says this in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. Ever and always God's provision for them. And you know, it's only then in response to this cup, only in response to the pouring out of this chalice, only in response do we have in view this idea of men calling out. Because in verse 37 we read, and when they heard this, after they had received, recognized the contents of this cup, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter gives them that instruction, right? We know it so well. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ for the remission of sin. So, is that vital? Is that important? Absolutely it is. It's all about a response to the cup. For the promises to you and to your children and to many who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And then we come to verse 41 of that passage, and it shows us that, you know what? They really took that cup. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They had received of that cup. They had their portion. Their cup was full, as Psalm 23 says. Their cup ran over because of God's provision. Furthermore, we could look at our New Testament reading in 1 Peter. Surely, you might say, it starts with us. You remember the New Testament reading, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, and if we call, Pastor Jim, there it is, call comes first. Really? And if you call upon the Father, who without respect of person judges according to man's work, pass the time here sojourning in fear, is what that verse says. If you call what Peter is saying, make sure you understand what it's all about. Follow through is what Peter is saying here. Make sure that you really have received that cup and live accordingly. And so I have to ask the question, and so do you. Did the call really come first? I don't think so. The words may have come first, but in verse 18, Peter says this, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. You already know this. As you think about calling, and if you're going to call, you're going to do so because you already know these things. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed. These are past tense kind of words. You were redeemed. The cup had been poured out. You were redeemed. In verse 19. With the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, he himself was the cup poured out. That's what our table is going to signify. The pouring out of the blood of Christ. Look at verse 21 of this chapter. It says, who by him do believe. You guys already believe in him. Who raised, another past tense word. Who raised him from the grave and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Verse 22, seeing that you have purified your souls, another past tense word. What's happening in 1 Peter is not that they were calling upon the name of the Lord first, but no, they were calling upon the name of the Lord because they had taken the cup of salvation that God had poured out for them. Verse 23 says, being born again. Not something that they were aspiring to. They had already been born again. Been born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God, the very things that Peter was preaching to them, which lives and abides forever. Brothers and sisters, don't misunderstand me. By all means, understand what is our appropriate response. And our appropriate response is to call. By all means, call upon the name of the Lord. Remember the promises. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By all means, call. But make sure it's not all about you. By all means, call. And call because of the cup. Never forget the cup. Never forget the portion. The service that the Lord has given us and continues to give us. The lot he's given us. The provision that he has given us. in Christ. A pastor friend of mine, his name is George Grant, and he has had a Facebook post recently from G.K. Chesterton. And basically what the quote says is something along this line. Jesus promises his disciples three things. Jesus promises his disciples three things. They would be completely fearless. They would be absurdly happy. And they would constantly be in trouble. This cup that God has poured out for us means many things. It is a cup of salvation. But it's so much more than that. It's a cup whereby we are partakers of these things. We can be completely fearless. We can be absurdly happy. But we also have to know that in this world, in this crooked generation, as crooked as the one in the first century, we will constantly be in trouble. Brothers and sisters, take the cup and call upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, you are good. We praise you. We thank you. We thank you for the abundance of your provision. Father, help us to be as David. Help us to be as Job. Help us to be as the hearers of the earliest of the proclamation, of those who heard the earliest proclamation of the gospel. Lord, help us to receive of your goodness fully and all that you have for us. And so, Father, whether we're in good times or whether we're in troublesome times, all of it's your cup. Help us to be those who call upon you. Lord, be our God, be our King, be the priority in our lives that you are and that you ought to be. And help us in all of these things to give thanks. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.